This has been Johnson Temple Church of God in Christ with Pastor Maurice Johnson. Johnson Temple is located at 200 Nona Street in Leesville, Louisiana. Service times are as follows. Sunday school is at 10 a.m. Sunday worship service is at 11:30 a.m. Sunday YPWW is on Zoom at 6 p.m. Tuesday night Bible study and Friday joy night are on Zoom at 7 p.m. Morning prayer is Monday through Saturday on the Johnson Temple prayer line at 9:30 a.m. Thank you for listening to Johnson Temple Church of God in Christ of Leesville, Louisiana.
This is KAYT-FM, 881 Gina Alexandria, 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport, K223BI, 98.9 Monroe, West Monroe, K255BT, 100.1 Lake Charles, K261EB, and KQJO-FM, 99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, and online at www.kaytfm.com.
Middle class getting smoked by Biden and Harris. The woman you promote. Making that money. Y'all did. This is what you and your third term.
Opinionated, outspoken, informative. The Jaguar.
Follow us on Facebook. It's the Jaguar. In Alexandria, Louisiana, as well as down in New Orleans. And if you're not able to catch us on Radio Live, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as follow us on Facebook. It's the Jaguar Journal.
The Jaguar Journal, your source for the latest information on Southern University sports and SWAC athletics.
A Baton Rouge sports talk tradition.
It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. I am Perry Wright. Hope you guys are having a great and fantastic day as you get it going here on this Saturday morning. Hope you guys had a good week. It is week zero. It is football season. And you know what that means. We cannot start football season without the legendary broadcaster himself, my man Charlie Neal. Good morning.
Good morning, Perry. How are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I can't complain. Getting ready for the season.
Hey, aren't you glad it's here?
Hey, no question. A long, hot summer. With anticipation.
And we are here. It's week zero. And you are once again heading the ship over at HBCU Go TV. Talk to us, because you have a three-hour special that's going to air a little bit later today, giving a preview of the HBCU football landscape.
Yeah, it's a three-hour show where we got a chance to visit all four HBCU conferences for their football media days. CIAA with Virginia Union. Of course, they're looking to repeat as champions. And, of course, they have a premier running back in the conference in terms of in the CIAA in terms of Jada Byers from Virginia Union, who had over 1,000 yards rushing. I'll get a chance to see him next Saturday because Virginia Union will open the season for us on the syndicated side down at Kentucky State in Frankfort, Kentucky. So that's looking forward to that season opener for us. Of course, you know the CIAA did away with its North-South division now. So it's the top two teams will play for the championship at the end of the season.
Are you a fan of that, getting rid of the divisions for that conference?
Well, it doesn't matter one way or the other. I mean, last year it was Fayetteville State and Virginia Union. Right now, the way the preseason poll in the CIAA, they have Virginia State pick number one, Virginia Union number two, and Fayetteville State number three. So they'll probably see two of those three teams in the championship anyhow. So, you know, I don't think it makes much of a difference. I understand what they're doing.
You know,
I don't think it makes much of a difference.
As you move forward with today and you're going through your show, of course, everybody, I think, for the large part, I'll be looking at your D1 side. But aside from the SWAC and the MEAC, you look at North Carolina A&T, you look at Hampton and Tennessee State. And I call them the cousins now. Those are the cousins. But in my perspective, if you're looking at the cousins, what do you see for an outlook for those three?
Well, as far as the North Carolina A&T and Hampton, they're in the CAA, Colonial Athletic Association. I think that's what it's called now. The C changed names this year. It was called the Colonial. I think it's Coastal now. Coastal Athletic Association. That's what it is. I think that's a 14-team conference. And if I serve me correctly, those two teams were not picked very high in terms of the preseason poll. I think they were like near the bottom, like 12 and 14 or something like that. I think it was Hampton was like number 12, and I believe it was North Carolina A&T was like number 14. But neither one of them were ranked very high as far as the conference is concerned. Now, as far as Tennessee State and the OVC Big South, that's the combo conference, they're like right in the middle of the pack right now. They're right down in the middle of the pack. So I'm just looking at something here on the CAA poll. Yeah, Hampton is 15 teams in the CAA. So Hampton was 12th, and North Carolina A&T picked 14th out of the 16 teams.
You know, when you look at, as you continue to show today, and you break down these different conferences and you look towards these teams as now the season begins today, everything will really get rolling next week in week one. What's next for you as you start to then move over to the SWAC and the MEAC for your show today?
As far as our games are concerned, of course, we have doubleheaders now starting every Saturday starting next week. Our season will open up with Clark Atlanta at Fort Valley. That will be the 1 o'clock game, and that's the table game, we call it. That one will be on the Griot. I'm on the syndicated game with Virginia Union and Kentucky State, and that's the 3 o'clock tip-off or kickoff. The following week, I'll be at Grambling when they'll be hosting Tuskegee. And then I go down to Memphis for the Southern Heritage Classic. And that's Tennessee State and Arkansas Pine Bluff. And then the following week down in Daytona Beach for Clark Atlanta and Bethune-Cookman. We'll also be in Daytona Beach the following week also. That'll be September 26th when they host Alabama State. And we hit the road. We hit 4 homecomings in a row. We'll have Alcorn State's homecoming against Arkansas Pine Bluff. We'll have Alabama A&M's homecoming against Bethune-Cookman. I'll have Grambling's homecoming against Arkansas Pine Bluff. And I'll have Bethune-Cookman's homecoming against Jackson State. So that's pretty exciting going forward as far as the syndicated side is concerned. And then, of course, we get a chance to see Southern, your team. We'll get a chance to see them November 2nd when they play Alabama A&M down in Huntsville, Alabama. And we'll close out the season at Jackson State when they host Mississippi Valley. We'll have the CIAA championship, which will be played down in Salem, Virginia. And our final game of our football season will be November 23rd down in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, they host Texas Love.
I'm gonna make sure. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's my schedule.
I'm gonna make sure. Look, you get to enjoy some homecomings. I'm gonna make sure the city of Pine Bluff take care of you. Last time I put the word, you were supposed to get that turkey leg. I'm gonna make sure you get that turkey leg this time.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to it. I think somebody got it.
I'm gonna make sure you get that turkey leg in. For you, you know, this homecoming slate that you have, four homecomings, man, you in store for a good time, get a chance to meet with alums and people of the community when it comes to these different HBCUs and to be able to experience that. So far for you, and this is always one of those topics of conversations for the many places you have traveled over the decades of covering HBCU football. I got to ask you, Charlie Neal, where do you think the best homecoming lies and who owns that prestige honor of having the best homecoming?
It is that is a hard one because everybody does a good job. I'll tell you the one I went to for the first time last year, and I couldn't believe it. And that was Purview. Purview's homecoming.
I've heard that.
Let me say this. And that, like I said, that was the first time. I've been to Southerns. I've been to Jackson State. I've been to Alcorns. I've been to Gramlings. You know, I've been to Florida A&M. And they do a good job there also. But Prairie View, let me just say this. First of all, it takes you forever to get in there.
Then again, it's one way in, one way out.
So we get in there, the game ends. And you know, I'm not rushing to get out of there because the traffic is so bad. I waited 2 hours before I decided to try to leave after the game was over. There were many people trying to come into the arena or to the area where the tailgating was taking place as there were people trying to leave. And actually, I think there were more people trying to come in than there were that were trying to leave. I've never seen anything like it. And cars, I mean, there were people parked. We knew they weren't going to be getting out before the next day. You know, the way they were parked. I mean, I've never seen anything like that.
So Prairie View shocked you last year.
Yeah, it shocked me. And that's the first time I'd been to a Prairie View homecoming. And it shocked me to no end. I have to say Prairie View's got number one in my book.
Oh, my. Hey. That is different. Listen, that is different. But I have been told that Prairie View does it different. And I guess for a lot of people who, the only time I get to see Prairie View is when Southern comes to town over there. But other than that, I have yet to truly. And I guess we don't really see a lot of footage of it like you see with North Carolina A&Ts, like you see with Southerns, you see with Hampton. You oftentimes get a chance to see footage. Somebody has video. Prairie View's is just like a hidden secret within the conference and within the HBCU landscape to where you have to be there to understand it.
No question about it, because like I said, I've been to A&T. They do a great job down in Greensboro, North Carolina. I've been to Hampton, you know, and I've been to Southern, you know. Jackson State does a great job. Florida A&M, I know they do a great job with their homecoming. At Prairie View, that took the cake. You know, they get the number one nod right now.
So I guess that's what we own this year. Charlie Neal, you and I, we're going to keep up with this. We're going to, as the season progresses and these homecomings continue to take place, we're going to look and see by the time we get to the end of the season who has the number one homecoming. And let me ask you this before I get ready to let you go. When you judge a homecoming and say, this is the top spot, what are we going to judge on? What's going to be our criteria for a top spot for homecoming this year?
One of them is it starts with the tailgating. You know, they do as much tailgating after the game at Prairie View as they do before the game. And I think, you know, that's one that you can't overlook. Florida A&M does a great job. I don't know if you've ever been down that one street that Florida A&M has, right beside the stadium.
Yeah, I think it's called Perry Street, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.